Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture for tonight is coming from Matthew 9:35-38. Again, that is Matthew and the New Testament 9:35-38. So get your sword, which is the spirit of God's word. Read along. You want to make sure that you're reading the word for yourself. Don't take anyone's word for it. And then get your pen and your paper because you definitely want to make your notations. Oh, however, your recording devices, if you such desire. I invite you, as your host, Minister Von Dillon, to reach out and just let someone know that the broadcast is airing right now. We're live. But you can also go right into the archives at any time, and we invite you to please rate the show. Please send any email requests or prayer requests or just to say hello to walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also feel free to leave a message here on the blog talk if you should desire. Either way that you choose to correspond with us, we really enjoy responding back to you, and I hope I'm doing a great job of getting back to you on a quick basis. So as we're becoming more closer to Christ's Day, our Christmas Day that we set aside just to do the things that He has left as an example and give, because God so loved the world that He gave. And so that's why we represent each other His love by giving to each other. We try to give on a daily basis and pray for each other, but we set aside the day of Christmas just to give back, to maybe reach out a little farther than you normally would reach on a normal weekly or daily basis. So you should be ready. So let's go ahead and start with our scripture. Our scripture today, again, is coming from Matthew 9:35-38, as we're talking about Jesus thought the world was worth winning. So let's read, shall we? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he upon to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9:35-38. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So when you're asked the question, why is it that we as Christians are always wanting to tell someone about the Bible? We always want to try to reach out to them and get them to listen or read the word for themselves or pray for themselves. That's exactly why. Because we see what God has shown us. And as we communicate with God and get a closeness with the word and the truth, He said He is the truth. He is also the life. And we have compassion for the people of the world who are not saved, that have not invited Christ to be their Lord over their lives, to be their Savior in their lives, to come live inside of them. That same compassion that Jesus had for the people, He also shares with us, and we share it for the people. Because it is. They faint at all little things. They bow down to anything. They try to serve and worship anything. Because see, they're built with this worship spirit inside of them. And if you do not know the Lord of who you're supposed to be praising and worshiping, you will praise that cocaine dealer. You will praise that same person who is prostituting you out. That same person that is beating you nightly, you will worship him. See, it's a confused spirit, and it says that when you get that confusedness about you, it scatters families. Mothers and daughters are separated. Mothers will forget about taking care of their kids to go get that hit. Vice versa, it goes on and on and on and on. So that's the scattered abroad that he's speaking of. He said it's just like we are the sheep that have no shepherd. You know, a sheep without a shepherd is nothing. They don't know how to, where to feed. They have nothing about them that they make up their own ideas on how to survive. They need a shepherd. That's why those sheep know their shepherd's voice. And he leads them. And if one goes astray, he goes to follow him because he knows that that sheep will forever be lost if you don't come back. Where at one time in our life, we were that one lost sheep. And he's not willing that any of us should be lost. So he sends us as shepherds, overseers, bishops, overseers to see over his sheep, lead them back to him, the true shepherd. Hallelujah. We have to realize that the more sinful the world becomes, which is the people in the world who's in control of that, the more important it is for us to be the bearers of truth. The more important for us to be the bearers of righteousness. This is not a time for us to change our mind and decide that we're just going to throw in the towel, and if you cannot beat them, then we're just going to join them. This is not the time. We have to realize that. The more things that happen, the sinful behaviors of the people that's living in this world, the more that it just elevates. The more we as Christians have to stand tall, we can't give in talking about there is no more truth. There is no more goodness. I can't trust anybody. Those are negative words that are lies that's coming from a demonic place, and we do not need to adopt that attitude. Then we as Christians have to be the one who stand up. It's more important for us right now to make sure that we are the bearers of the truth. People need to hear the truth. We are the bearers of the good news. Amen? And that's what I'm going to tell them? To proclaim the good news. We have to be the bearer and to become what Christ intended for us to become. And what is that? That is soul winners. Winners of soul. Fishermen. To fish and get the word, and it will draw in men, all nationalities, all levels of stature. See, Jesus didn't look at the world as such a sinful place that, you know, it could never be touched. You know, he didn't panic. He didn't say, oh, my goodness, you know, these people are just so bad, I might as well just go back to heaven right now. No. See, Jesus looked at loss with compassion. He saw a world that was worth winning. Sometimes we don't see that because we're in the midst of it. Today, the earth has a population of over 7 billion people. That's a lot of people. And it's been said that only 1/3 has heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, all of the different satellites, then, you know, you can turn on your TV. There are churches everywhere on every corner in every city. But still, about only 1/3 has actually heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was about to say that many more has probably heard or saw someone who's planning to be a Christian or that is a Christian. I'm not doubting your claim. And they may have saw a Christian, and if so, you could go back and forth to church. And you may pass by them every time that you're heading to and from the church. Or you may be passing by where they're sitting around drinking or gambling or whatever as you go to and fro to the store, just on your daily routine. You know, you may even throw your hand up at them. You may even know them by name and they know you by name. But have you ever shared the word of the Lord with them? Have you ever stopped by and said, brothers and my sisters, you know, I know that I know you or I do not know you, but I just wanted to come and just talk to you today about the Lord. Can I have just a few minutes? And remember, you're not there to condemn them. No. Because it's not the wrath of God that's going to compel a man to come to him. But it's with love. You got to love them. How do you eat today? You know what? We at the church here, or me in my home, we just fixed it. It's got some extra bread. Just thought maybe we're going to offer it to you. See, it's that love, it's that compassion you got to have upon them that's going to allow them to open their heart as you continue to pray for God to soften their heart. And as they open their heart, then you can start to teach them, to show them the Word of God. Feed them the Word of God, just like you fed them the food, the earthly food. You just feed them the Word of God. We have the capacity to preach the gospel to almost every person on the face of this earth through technology that is available today. So why haven't we witnessed to the whole world yet? Have we gotten complacent with Jesus' command when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation? According to Mark, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Or is it that we built religious walls that are so high now, and the temples are so wide and so big that no one can scale them? No one can get past them. No one can get through them. And if they try to get through, we don't even notice them. Because we're so involved because getting ourselves inside of that wall. We want people to know that we're here today. I showed up. Look who's here today. You know, have we got so caught up on religion and just that no, we're just there. It's just something we do. We walk in, we sat at the same seat, we may do the same routine of walking around, saying hello to the same people. We leave. What did we bring into that service? What did we take out? When we go back into our community, have our communities changed? When we take off our collars and we take off our name tags, it's got our big titles and everything like that, what have we accomplished for the day? We really need to stop and reevaluate things. If we're being the example to the world, the people of the world, just as Jesus was the example, is the example for us, then we need to follow his word. Go ye into all the world, not just into the four walls, but into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? You know, television can help us to do this on a grand scale. So can the internet or any other social media. And God knows there's a lot of them out there. Evangelistic citywide meetings. But it also takes each one of us realizing the value of the souls and reaching out the best that we can. You know, many people often say, either you go or you send someone to go. If you're a believer, you need to be going or you need to be sending someone in different areas to go. We believe that Jesus Christ wants every believer to be involved in winning the world with his gospel. You know, on television, you can have this, all kinds of different things on there. But it's many times people just surf. And so they just pass right by it. They won't even give it a time or day to even stop, to even hear the word. So it's very important for us to be out amongst people. And we are. Anywhere you work, we're most people. She said, those heathens don't want to hear about this in the word. It's not for you to decide who. God said he wants none to perish. And if you have the good news inside of you, everybody that you see, everywhere that you go, don't wait. You should be sharing something, spending some time showing love, compassion. World evangelism is so important. You know, even before you and I were born, Jesus Christ declared that the harvest of souls was ready to be harvested. In other words, he said, people are ready. It's not up to us to look at someone and determine whether they are ready to receive the word of God or not. People are ready, but are we ready? Are we ready? I believe that we must intensify our efforts to evangelize the world if we want to bring in that tremendous harvest of souls that the Bible talks about. We can't just look at the sinful acts of the world and then throw our hands up as if it's hopeless. Because it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. Regardless of how much you really believe that, it's not hopeless. We have to realize that the more sinful the world becomes, the more important it is for us to be the bearers of truth. The more important it is for us to be the bearers of righteousness. And we have to become what Christ intended for us to be. Soul winners. We're here to win souls. Hallelujah. Just like our scripture taught us, Matthew 9:35-38. Again, as he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a lot out there that needs to be harvested. But are we ready to go out there as laborers and do the work? We must show compassion. And many Christians, just being honest, many Christians never take advantage of the opportunity that they have to reach the lost. For different reasons, but mostly because they only see them as dirty sinners. And they see themselves as somebody of higher. Oh, let me get out of here. Here come the sinners. They're getting ready to drink. They're getting ready to party. So they just kind of quarantine themselves off. Or they walk around like the Pharisees in their three-piece robes, or, you know, talking religious and looking down on their noses at the sin of the law. You know what I'm talking about, right? Now, if that's you, don't say anything. You ain't got to admit it to nobody else but God. Admit it to yourself. Do your self-examination and pray about it. God, how can I advance in this? How can I get this off of me? That sounds like me. I'm always moving away from them. But you know, Jesus, he went through the streets and the byways, and he didn't just stay on the main road. He just didn't talk to the ones that were in the synagogue. But he got out and performed miracles. He talked to the blind, to the sick. He raised the dead. He gave his word. He showed compassion. He showed his love. Hallelujah. But if we are to be successful in the one in the world, we must see people as Jesus sees them, with compassion. Look around and you'll see that your community is scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherds. Look around on your job. I'm sure you'll see that it's scattered abroad. I don't care what the titles are and how big it is. From the smallest to the biggest, to the largest. You'll see they're like sheep that's having no shepherd. It's not just your pastor's job to win the lost in your community. Many of the people say, well, I'll leave that up to the minister, the pastor, the evangelist. He's got a whole team of people. She's got a whole team of people. I'll leave that up to them. But no, it's not up to just the pastors to minister to the sheep, to try to save the lost. That's what you're waiting on. You're waiting in vain. You have a job to do. And you're not going to ever stop working. It's always something for you to do. It's always something for you to do. But it is your job. It is your job to get out there in the community, wherever you're at. You run into the same people at the grocery store. You carry on all kinds of conversations. When you look over there to the side and you see the person that's under the tree trying to cover themselves up, have you even thought for a moment about the blankets that you have in your home that you haven't used in years and probably never will use, and the moss is using it for you? The dust is just having more conversation with your blanket than you are? They're finding the comfort that you should be, or the person under that tree could be using? So many places that organizations that you can actually turn in blankets, coats, anything that you're not using. And you say, well, I don't want them reselling them. You know what? Don't worry about what happens at that time. There are so many charitable donation places out here that any of us can find in any of our cities. And most of them will come and pick up the donation and do not charge the people anything. Anything. So we're so dressed up and we're so looking so good in our nice cars that we forget to turn our heads to the right or to the left. We're looked down on them, so we don't try to reach them in any way. You said, I'm afraid of them. They may be afraid of you. Have you thought of that they may be afraid of you? The way that you mean dogging them? The way that you turn your nose up at them? That can be pretty scary to them also. So we've got to make sure that we're not expecting our pastors to do something that you're not going to do. It is your job to feed the sheep. Sheep beget sheep. And the pastor feeds them too. We are all sheep. Sheep beget the sheep. So everyone that you come into contact with should see the light of Christ in your life. But you don't have to preach down the next to do it. Again, it's very important to emphasize that. They should see the light of Christ in your life. Not that you think then you're better than them just because you've walked a couple steps that they may haven't traveled before. And then you don't know what's going on in someone's life. They may have traveled where you were at and just fell off on the wayside or just sat down. Something just got them where they just said, I'm just going to sit down. It may be your prayer that lifts them back up. It may be something going on that's their talent that will get you your prayers answered, the things that you're praying for in life. It may be right there in the person that you're looking down at your nose at. The talents that God has placed inside of them may be exactly what you need to get where you want to be. Huh. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to change the way that we look at life. And we have to start looking at life the way that God looks at life. If we're going to be successful and win in this world, that's what we have to do. We got to see people as Jesus sees them, with love and compassion. I find that you can get more people saved with a smile, just a kind word, than you ever could with a frown. You know what? Because action speaks louder than words. So you can jump on them all the time. You know, you need to stop doing this, and why are you doing this? And I saw you over here, and you ain't never going to be nothing as long as you're with her or with him and da-da-da and ya-ya-ya. And all they hear is blah, 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 blah. Try exchanging that. It's just a smile. Your smiling doesn't mean the lifestyle. Your smile doesn't mean that you are accepting the behavior. But your smile means that you're showing compassion. Your smile means that I have sin in my life also. I have to repent of my sin just like you. We're all children of God. And we all make mistakes. That's what your smile shows. You can save more people than you ever are going to be able to do with a frown. But again, whether you believe it or not, it's not just a saying. Your actions speak much louder than your words. You can tell them, oh, I love you, I love you. That's what I'm trying to say. Can't you see that I love you? No, they can't. No, they can't. So that's why you're like preaching to a brick wall. That's why you're the one that's frustrated and got the headache. That's why you're the one with all of the migraines. And they seem to just be happy all about themselves. Maybe intoxicated, but they're happy. Maybe high, but they're happy. And you're all the one that's all messed up and bothered up and sad and have other medical problems that's going on with you. You see, because you are going with your words. You're thinking your words are going to make the difference. But they're looking at your actions. Your actions is hatred. Your action has no love about it at all. And that's what may be blocking, that's dividing you and the behavior of the person that you're speaking to. In Matthew 5:16, it says, Jesus said these words. So this is not Minister Vaughn's words. Jesus said, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then through saying your good words, that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So again, you, my sister, my brother, right there in the midst of where you're at, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, I know right now, you're letting your light shine, and you say, sister, it doesn't always mean that they're going to see the good works in me. They see me as weak. They see me that I'm missing out on something, because it's just like to them. Just real quickly, let me just explain that. What they are seeing, it's just like going to the cemetery and just playing the most beautiful music. They're dead. They can't appreciate it. So when they see your good works, don't give up on it. Keep living that life before them. Because where they are not dead, they're deaf, they're blind. We have to ask God to reveal, wash out their eyes, soften their heart. And when something is hard, even like a lemon, you want to get really juicy, it's hard when you first get it. But it takes some rubbing, back and forth, some rubbing continuously before you get to that place of softening, before you get to that place where the juice is ready to be squeezed out. That's the same way with the hearts that has been hardened. See, we don't know what people have been through in life, where they started at. And this is the first time that they really are experiencing someone that's living a true Christian life, not a religious person, but somebody who's really out there trying to live a Christian life. Don't spend all of your time doubting yourself because they're saying, oh, you Mr. Perfect. Oh, yeah, okay, you Miss Holier Than Thou. It's just that they don't understand. And then I find that we find ourselves, I'm not perfect. And they think I'm trying to be perfect. Forget about that. See, you can't get trapped up in what they think. You know your job. I go into my job every day. I know what my duties are. I know what I need to do. So even though someone else that I may assign work to may not understand why I'm assigning that work to them, why I'm asking them that, why I'm doing the things that I'm doing, I can't let that. I can't get all caught up in spending all day trying to explain to them what's going on. I can't get caught up in, oh, they think that this is unfair, or they think this is here. I rule with a fairness. I can't get caught up on that. We can't get caught up on what they're saying. We can't open our heart to listen and receive all the evil things that they don't understand about us. So then we're trapped. Then they're winning and we're losing. But we've got to keep our eye on God. We've got to look at God more than we look at ourselves. We've got to look at God more than we look at how we feel. We've got to look at God more than we feel with these emotions of those words that there's someone is saying to us. Until he keeps on rubbing that melon back and forth, back and forth. That's your prayer and keep on working. And you know, it's so good that we can talk to God about anything. You can just let him know, oh, that was a challenge today, Father. It didn't seem like that they heard anything that I said today. I tried to live my life before them totally today, and whoa, it's just this. But I know you know the outcome of it, so I'm going to keep right on. I know you're rubbing that lemon, Father, and I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to pray for them right now, dear Father. I pray for them, and you call out their name. And I ask you, Father, to keep softening their heart. I know it's hard right now, and I know there's something in their life that's hurting them. But I ask you to keep rolling that lemon until the juice comes out. And you may or you may not be there when it actually gets to that point that it actually flows out. So that's okay. See, we're all in different lines for season. It may be your season to start it. It may be your season in the middle of it to push down a little harder. It may be your season that you're stepping into their life right there at the end where, hey, they're ready to surrender their life to Christ. It may or may not be your season. But don't you give up. And don't you allow them to get you into a situation where now you're doubting yourself. Maybe I am looking like I'm holier than thou to them. Let's find ourselves in that situation. Again, we're going to turn those frowns upside down to a smile. And we're going to let our light so shine that men may see your good works. And then when they start to see your good works, after a while, as that lemon starts to get softer and softer, that's when they begin to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It may start by them just deciding, well, you know, there's, you know, something going on. And what is a good Bible? What Bible do you read? Where do I get about? Ha-ha! That's your time to reach out and say, well, you know what? I got an extra Bible, and I think it'll be great for you. Tell them to come out. Sign it over to them. Every time I give out a Bible, I sign it. Sign it over to them. Bless that Bible. There's one at your home that you have in particular mind that God is saying, this is the one I want you to start down with. Do it. It may be one that you have to go purchase for them. Amen? So sometimes even when, you know, they're trying to come to the Word, want to get a Bible, and as many times, every time they get ready to turn over to that faith store to get the Bible, something else thing pulls them in another direction. So that's why I think it's important, and I tell people all the time, you let me know what you need. I'll try to make sure I get it into your hands. Amen? Amen. Let's let my light shine. It's not always what you say, but it's how you act. How you act. And the good works that you do that shine a bright light for God. So again, it's not just the words you say, not about what you say, or even how you say it, but it's how you act, your actions. And it's then the good works that you do, your actions, and the things that you do, which is the tithes and the same thing. That's where your light begins to shine for God. So in our closing tonight, I invite you to ask yourself, do you shine brightly? Do you shine brightly? Do you enjoy being saved? Are you enjoying your salvation? And if not, what's holding you back from the joy of your salvation? Just ask yourself and be honest. You know, I'm not really enjoying my salvation. Then stop and say, no, I'm not. And then just maybe write down, what is stopping you? What's holding you back from the joy, receiving the joy of your salvation. You may say you don't know. And you may say, well, it's because I don't have a good prayer partner in my life. I don't have a great church on First Shepherd in my life right now. I kind of feel like that I'm kind of out here on my own. I don't have someone to the north, east, south, and west of me that's calling out my name and my situations in prayer. Or it may be that you've lost sight of what Jesus did for you. Has the devil robbed you of your joy? Or have you gotten so involved in your own needs, your own daily routine, that you've lost the desire to even reach out to others with the gospel? See, I enjoy being saved, and I know that real joy comes from knowing God personally and helping others to know Him too. I mean, sure, I don't always feel happy, but I choose to have joy every morning. I choose to walk by faith and not by what I see around me. I choose to give my burdens to the Lord because He is my El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. He's more than enough. Again, sure, I know that the devil is in the world stirring up trouble, but I don't care. See, that loser is under my feet. I realize that he couldn't be very tall if he was under my feet. And if I want to talk to him, I have to write a message on the bottom of my shoe because he's under my feet. But still, it's not enough for me to have joy and leave others in misery. It's not enough for me to keep the wisdom and the blessings of God all to myself. Christ commanded me and you to share what we've been given. Why? Because God counts his wealth not by the gold streets, not by the pearly gates, not even by the jasper walls, but by the souls that he possesses. When people get saved, the value of God's treasure goes up, up, up. And I'm helping to make God richer and richer and filling his kingdom with what he values most, people, his people. Again, John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we cannot impress God by the things we possess in this life, only by the souls that are saved as his gospel is preached. Souls won by compassion. Souls won by salvation, not condemnation. God loves people so much. This world is worth winning to him. And if he didn't think so, he wouldn't have sent his own son to die for it. God rejoices with all of his angels when just one person is saved. It's time for us to value souls just like he did. You know, Jesus came for you. He died for you. His reason is because he loves you. And if you have not received Jesus into your life, I invite you right now just to open your heart. Open your heart. Repeat the words after me. Will you accept God's love today? If you believe it in your heart, the words you're going to repeat, you shall be born again. It's just this simple. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. And I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. And I just want to thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. And now I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And if you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. You have a brand new life with Jesus to look forward to. Starting right now, your slate has been cleaned from God. That is beautiful. It's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You're going to need somebody, a shepherd that's going to be over you praying with you. You know what? I love you. Congratulations on your newfound life. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. But the most important thing is God loves you. He loves you so much. You're always on his mind. We've come to the end of another broadcast. This is your host, Minister Brian Dillon. And until the next broadcast, ask yourself, are you ready to be a witness for God? He's ready for you. Good night.